Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. 18 assembly members stormed Governor Patterson's office yesterday to demand a face-to-face discussion about the budget crisis. Now, the governor grudgingly met with them after telling the press that he thought it was just some kind of ploy. And while the spontaneous meeting didn't produce anything concrete, as far as we know, members insist that the governor got the message that they're sick of the budget impasse and that he needs to be more involved. Also yesterday, a federal judge blocked, at least temporarily, Governor Patterson's push for 100,000 state worker furloughs. So joining me now to talk about all the action in Albany and why all that action still hasn't produced a state budget is Liz Benjamin, the host of Capital Tonight, blogger and Daily News columnist. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me, Jody.
I'm Jamie. You're Liz.
Okay, and we'll go on from there.
Yeah, you know, everyone does the Jody thing. It's all right. So let's talk about what's going on. First of all, we say 18 members stormed the governor's office. He says it was some kind of ploy. And they demanded this meeting, but Speaker Silver was not one of the members, says he didn't send them. What prompted this action? Was it spontaneous? What were they asking for? And did they really get anything out of it?
Well, actually, in the end, it was 27 members, as it turns out. And it was actually an insurrection led by Assemblymember Jack McEnany, who I spoke with last night. He's an Albany Democrat. And he said that, you know, I think that they just felt completely upset and angry about the lack of movement, about the furloughs that they were forced to pass. They had to choose between furloughs and a government shutdown in the budget extender, and they were angry about that. Interestingly, Jack McEnany, who's a local history buff and gives tours of the Capitol, led his colleagues down to the second floor, the governor's office at the Capitol, on a quote-unquote tour, a fake tour, and that's how he faked his way into the governor's office.
Oh, so it was a stealth operation.
Yeah, it was a subterfuge that he organized, and then they got in there and said and demanded to speak to the governor, and instead got Larry Schwartz, who's the governor's chief of staff, and finally it became clear, I think, that Larry Schwartz, said, "You guys aren't going to leave until I produce the governor," and they said, "Yep, that's right," and so the governor did speak to them, and as you noted, there was no, I think they cleared the air. They were very upset. They felt like there had been no substantial discussions. And they really wanted just to sort of air their views and their upset to the governor. As far as Speaker Silver is concerned, McEnany said, after the fact they went and briefed the speaker. But the impression I got was they wanted to provide the speaker with a little plausible deniability because the speaker and the governor have been getting along really terribly as of late. And it would just further inflame their already not fantastic relationship. So that's why these members decided not to let him in on the whole thing.
And not necessarily improve the situation in Albany.
Well, I don't know that the situation could get any worse, to be honest with you. But, we're going on with 6 weeks now, no budget. And every time something like this happens, you've just got to say to yourself, I don't understand how this makes anything better. I don't see how this improves the negotiations. Now, in terms of the furloughs, that was a setback for the Patterson administration and a win for the unions. But the hearing isn't going to be until May 26th. And so the next budget extenders that come down the pike, to keep the government running, need to be passed on Monday.
Well, okay. I do want to get back to the furloughs, but I cannot leave this storming of the Bastille yet.
It's really amazing.
So they get in there. Eventually, the governor does emerge from wherever he was holed up, and he sits down and he talks with him. But what comes of it? I mean, you say they really just wanted to be heard, but is anything accomplished?
No. I mean, as far as I could tell, no. They said, we're angry about this, this, and this. And he said, yep, I hear you. It's the union's fault, which is what he's been saying. You know, all three sides in this budget dance have included in their resolutions or proposals for closing the $9.2 billion deficit $250 million worth of workforce-related savings. Well, that could be achieved in any number of ways. The governor says it would be achieved through a freeze on the 4% contractually negotiated wages. Well, the unions don't want to do that. They also don't want to have a pay lag, which would, you know, you would have your pay actually until such time that you leave state service, you would give up your pay, a small piece of your pay, so the state can have a savings, right? The unions don't want to do that. The governor doesn't want to lay anybody off because he said he wouldn't in order to get the union's agreement for creation of a fifth tier in the state pension fund. So that's a problem. And now he's saying furloughs, well, then maybe that's illegal, according to the judge.
The judge.
Now, we're not sure if it's constitutional or not. We'll learn that on the 26th when this hearing comes around.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest is Liz Benjamin. And Liz, I hear what you're saying. We can't really tell that anything was accomplished, but the assembly members insist that their discussion, if you want to call it that, moved the ball forward.
Well, I think that as far as I could tell, move the ball forward just by breaking the ice in terms of negotiations not happening. I mean, the governor this morning was speaking on the radio and said he hadn't spoken to Speaker Silver since last Thursday. I mean, that to me is kind of amazing. You haven't spoken. Now, of course, the staff said are talking at all the levels, but we know in Albany it takes three guys to close a deal. Okay, great. Last Thursday you talked to the speaker? That's like a lifetime ago at a time when the state has no budget, right? And everything now is working on this bare bones extender that the governor is trying to sort of pain everybody into, you know, coming up to some kind of deal. Well, that's not working, clearly. And meanwhile, there's no road construction happening, so that's a problem. You know, that he's threatening furloughs, that's a problem. So you have this overheated atmosphere. So if nothing else, you had these people who came in and said, hey, can we talk? Because no one's talking around here. I mean, that if you consider that progress, yeah, then okay, progress was made.
We have a comment from our webpage and one of our listeners, and our listener would really like to know what is happening on the inside from the budget crisis. Is it really that the legislature is being completely irresponsible and doesn't want to anger constituents, or is it more the governor's fault with the way things have been handled? He came to office with a history of having been great with bipartisan relations, and now it seems all that goodwill has evaporated. I feel the public isn't hearing the whole story. So how about it, Liz?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. I mean, you can unpack it in a couple of ways. First of all, the governor is not running for re-election. Or election period to the position that he is currently holding that he inherited in the wake of Elliot Spitzer's prostitution scandal. So as long as this battle continues, he's relevant because as far as he's concerned, once the budget is signed, he really has nothing. I mean, he's still the governor, and if, God forbid, there's a crisis, he'll have to lead the state in that crisis. But he doesn't really have anything to do. His major leverage is in the budget fight, and he feels that he has a legacy that he wants to preserve, which is to be known as the guy who led the state through a fiscal crisis, and he's taking a very hard line on that. So that's one thing. The Senate, the Democrats have a one-seat majority, very razor-thin, two seats to deadlock it, and we saw in last summer's coup what a mess that was. So a deadlock Senate is really untenable. They want to hold on to the majority, and one of the things that they've drawn a line in the sand on is providing what's known as star property tax relief to senior citizens. And they want to borrow, actually, to pay for that, and they are not moving off of it, okay, because senior citizens vote. I mean, I know it sounds cynical and absolutely craven, but the reality is that that's what the situation is, and the Senate Democrats won't move off property tax relief. And then the Assembly Democrats, well, they want to put back education funding, and they're, of course, very close to the teachers' union. So you have a lot of different conflicting political interests.
It is a conversation about politics, so it is not necessarily cynical and graven. It's just honest.
I mean, the reality is budgets are political. Politics, you can't take politics out of government.
Right. And let's talk about the furlough issue. The federal judge issued that temporary restraining order on the worker furloughs. They were supposed to go into effect on Monday. Explain the grounds for that judge's ruling.
Well, the judge basically said that, you know, he doesn't believe that the governor has, well, he hasn't done that. I mean, there are two things going on here. One was the seeking of a temporary restraining order that would block the implementation of the furloughs, which were supposed to go into effect on May 17th, until there can be a hearing on the constitutionality of the furloughs, right? So the judge said, okay, you're right. I'm going to issue you a temporary restraining order to prevent the governor from doing something that may be unconstitutional. And then he raised questions about whether the governor has the power to freeze the 4% pay raises, for example, that were already contractually negotiated. Now, the governor this morning said, I can't believe that I'm the CEO of the state and this judge is telling me what I can and can't do with my workforce. So that's part of the problem, you know. But the question as to whether or not the furloughs are constitutional remains to be decided by the judge.
And
it could be appealed, right? I mean, this could go on in perpetuity.
And that's the issue for the hearing on May 26th, correct?
Correct, right. I mean, we could see this be much the same thing as we saw the governor's appointment of the lieutenant governor last summer. That went up all the way to the state's highest court, and the Court of Appeals finally said, yes, you do have the right to do that. We may see this on an expedited case, which would continue, I don't know, for weeks, potentially.
And what are people thinking, Liz, will happen at the hearing? I mean, I hear what you're saying. It could go on and on and on and on. But ultimately, what do people think is the constitutionality of the governor's decision?
Well, I mean, legal experts have suggested that the governor doesn't have a leg to stand on in here. And it seems like that's what Khan is telegraphing the judge. But, I mean, it's really anyone's guess. I mean, the governor said this morning that he feels that he didn't get a fair shake. And it's interesting also, Andrew Cuomo, who everyone expects to be declaring his candidacy any day now, his office is actually defending the state in this case because he's, of course, the state's top lawyer, and that's his job. So he has running the risk of running afoul of the unions, too, at a time when he's going to need their support so he can run for governor, again, with the politics. But, you know, I think that the governor felt chagrined about the fact that he didn't get a hearing. The state wasn't able to get to air its side before Khan, the judge, ruled, yes, that the unions could have a TRO.
So we still have a $9.2 billion deficit, as you said just
yes,
a few minutes
do.
Ago. And assuming this can't be resolved quickly, what happens? Does the state lay people off, eliminate positions? What?
Well, it's unclear. I mean, the lieutenant governor suggested that perhaps that would be the route that they would have to go. But the governor has so far refused to say anything about that and just saying, well, let's wait and see what happens in the hearing. And again, you know, there's this issue with the memorandum of understanding that the administration entered into with the unions in order to secure their support for the creation of the fifth pension tier. So that would be going back on that agreement, and it would be difficult for him to do that. You know, it's really, at some point, though, the rubber hits the road, right? At some point, you gotta close the budget deficit. You have $9.2 billion. The state may run out of cash, the governor says, in June. So that's going to be a problem.
So I guess I finish with you, Liz, with an easy question. How far are we from a budget?
It looks, I keep asking everybody that question, too. I mean, everybody comes on my show and I say next week, and nobody knows. So it's really quite alarming, actually. I mean, certainly we're going back to the bad old days where we didn't see budgets until August. I mean, that's not something that the state hasn't known before. We have seen budget battles that stretch on in perpetuity. In an election year, it's a little bit unusual because, generally speaking, elected officials don't want to be in Albany in the middle of the summer. They'd like to be on the campaign trail. And at a time when it appears that voters are very upset with the status quo and incumbents, I would think that they would want to be back in their districts really pounding the pavement. But apparently they've all dug in.
All right. Well, my guest has been Liz Benjamin, host of Capital Tonight, blogger and Daily News columnist. Liz, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Jamie. I appreciate it.
And up next, our May weekly guest, comedian, politics watcher, and web editor of The Onion, Varatunde Thurston. He's going to offer his take on the census. Stay with us.